This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday at Nationals Park, it was the Phillies getting a 6-3 win over the Nats thanks to an explosion in the 10th inning. Danny, the story, though, was Mackenzie Gore, who turned in one of the great starts in home history by a National. I don't mean on opening day.
That's not hyperbolic either. That's all time.
It was the best opening day start by a National at home we've ever seen. But it was one of the great outings. One hit, faced the minimum through six innings, punched out 13. To talk about it, our guy Mark Zuckerman of MassinSports.com. So, Mark, what'd you make of Mackenzie?
I mean, guys, that was outstanding. You couldn't have asked for anything better than that from him. He admitted that he'd been looking forward to the start for a while. He'd been planning for it. You saw him execute that plan to perfection, getting ahead of pretty much every hitter. And, I mean, the fact that he, not to say he struck out 13, but he got through six innings on 93 pitches with all those strikeouts, shows just how efficient he was. That's been really one of his bigger issues the last few years. Even when he's really good, he often can't go that deep in a game because he's up to 100 pitches by the fifth inning. So for him to combine the dominance with the efficiency the way that he did, it was just phenomenal. And you just hope now that he can latch onto that and sustain that for any length of time. If he does that on any kind of regular basis, we're talking about one of the best pitchers in the league.
So that was the good, and we'll get to Keibert Ruiz here in a moment as well. Mark, I thought that was a big game for him too. But here's the bad. The things that I'm worried about in terms of weaknesses, you saw him yesterday, right? Kind of the middle part of this bullpen, middle of the order, second and third, nobody out, and you end up with that, Bell, Lowe, DeYoung, inning ends with no runs scored there in the bottom of the seventh. I'm worried kind of maybe about some of these middle of the order bats and that part of the bullpen. And we kind of saw both implode a little bit there on opening day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you looked at the 26-man roster coming into the season, you'd say the top, whatever, six, seven, eight guys you really like and say, okay, that there's some real talent there, and this is what's going to ultimately help them get back to being a winning team again. But the flip side of that is you do need depth, and you need the guys behind them to be able to deliver in situations, especially late in games, close games against good teams like we saw. So the lack of execution at the plate from some of those guys when just putting the bat on the ball could have given them the lead. And my concern with the bullpen as a whole was probably my biggest concern coming in, but less so the guys at the back end and more so the guys in the middle, the sixth to seventh inning. You saw that. Perfectly on display yesterday. And so, yes, you need the star power, and I think they're developing that, but what you also need are the complementary players that help you win close games. And, I don't want to read too much into one game. There's a long way to go, but those were definitely, as you pointed out, areas that you were concerned about coming in, and they were exposed at least on day one. You hope it doesn't become a recurring theme.
I think the biggest positive outside of Gore in terms of an individual performance was turned in by Keibert Ruiz, and we will for a moment table him swinging at a pitch that hit him, which was tough with a couple runners in scoring position to start an at bat. But what a tremendous performance, and this is off of a great spring. I had someone pretty high up with the team tell me they think he had the best spring of anybody at the plate. He had an 830 OPS and three home runs. He's down 17 pounds. He's mentally in a place that they think is better than he's ever been in before, and they really have expectations that he's going to have a pretty big leap from last year. And then he starts the season with two hits before anybody else had one, had a 12-pitch at bat home run, threw a runner out for God's sake, which I thought he wasn't allowed to do. Like, what a game.
Yeah, outside of swinging at the pitch that hit him on the shin. It didn't just hit him, it hit him on the shin.
Yeah.
That was pretty egregious. But everything else that he did was fantastic. And as you point out, in all aspects of his game, the 12-pitch at bat, regardless of the result, just the at bat itself was great. And what I liked about that one, as opposed to the other one that he did swing at that bad pitch, there were seven straight foul balls, and I believe six of them were in the strike zone. So it's not like he was chasing just to keep himself alive. He was putting the bat on the ball and got himself finally the one he could do something with and crushed it. Throwing out the runner. I know it's Kyle Schwarber, not the fastest guy in the world, but that's still a confidence boost to throw somebody out, throw your first guy out the season. And let's not forget that he called the game with Mackenzie Gore for six innings. They were really on the same page with everything. So all of those things were really important. I wrote about this morning, like, there may be nobody on the team that you say needs a good start to the season more than Keibert Ruiz because of his struggles last year, because of the contract, just because he puts a lot of pressure on himself. He was down about himself last year. Feeling better this spring, performing better, as you said. If he can just get off to a good start, I think it allows him to relax, and maybe he can really become the player they thought they had all along. And doesn't have to be the leader, the star of this team, but just a good, solid, everyday catcher, that's going to make a huge difference for them.
Mark, super quick. In my freshman year of high school, I wrote a paper I worked really hard on. It was about the Odyssey. And my teacher, Ms.
Odyssey, Dennis. Odyssey, it's the company we work
for. Yeah, about Odysseus, like in his journey home. Was, the whole thing was about the Cyclops. There's a whole theme. Anyway, the point is, I worked really hard on it, and my English teacher, Ms. Dennis, just wrote at the top of the paper, no, right? I wish I would have had her yesterday when the Nats lineup got turned in, and Dylan Cruz was batting eighth, and she could have just wrote no, and then had to do it again. I'm not okay with that. That's not my thing. I'm not sure what we're trying to do here. Let's not overthink it. Let's not have him hitting eighth, please.
I was surprised by that. I think a lot of people were. He hit second basically all spring, so there was no indication of it. Now, maybe if he was hitting sixth, I could say, okay.
Wheeler's nasty. I get it, right?
Yeah, yeah. But eighth behind DeJong and Ruiz, and you mentioned that big situation with second and third, and I think it was the seventh inning, and they couldn't get the bat on the ball, and maybe Cruz would have done better, maybe not. I don't know. I think it's going to be matchup-based. I think he is going to hit higher up against a lot of guys, but there's maybe this little bit of a, hey, you're still a rookie. You didn't do great last year. You still kind of have to prove it. I don't love that, but we've seen Davey do that with other young players. My guess is if he performs at all close to what he's supposed to do, it won't be long. We won't see this happen very often, and he'll be at the top of the lineup soon enough. But I do think there's just a little bit of like a, hey, you still kind of have to prove it before we're going to make you an everyday hitter at the top of the lineup.
He did not hit breaking balls at all last year, right? And I, by the way, am first team all get him up to the high end of the order and ask Davey about it pregame on our show, because my point is it makes it a lot harder for him to hit. It makes him a lot harder for him to become what he's supposed to if he's being sandwiched by, you know, Paul DeJong's 0-for-4 with 4Ks or whatever and Jacob Young than if James Wood's hitting behind him. So move him up and help him out. Get him some fastballs, which he kills. But the breaking stuff he hasn't hit. He hasn't hit in the big league. So I understand both sides of it. But this is making it harder to get him to be good. That's all.
Yeah, I don't disagree with what you're saying, that the logic there. And I think let's see how this goes. Again, I don't think we're going to see this very often. I hope we don't see it very often. But there may be just a little bit of a, hey, show me what you got first before I guarantee you a spot up in the lineup.
Thank you, buddy. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you, guys.
It'll be beautiful at the ballpark.
Yes,
enjoy
sir.
It. There's Mark Zuckerman. Check him out. MassinSports.com does a great job covering all things national sports.